Privilege to be here this morning to take part in his rest. I want to thank the worship team first of all for the listen. Because when you lose when a team loses two key players, they're not as sometimes the team gets a little off or they get a little shaken. But this team here has found a way to push through. And like you said, sister, this is our pay vibe year. And I'm not claiming nothing else but them returning back to where they belong. You say, well, can he do it? Look. Everybody look right here. You tell me if he can do it. And I knew this morning was going to be, oh, man, it's going to be tough, but we're going to get through it. So, yeah, pay vibe year, and I'm claiming the same thing you're claiming. You leave them uncovered. We're not going to cover that. We're not hiding nothing. They're coming back where they belong, and I'm thanking the Father for that. Look, all week long, man, I didn't know. The Father has been just downloading every day. I told my wife who was coming home from by Isaac, and she cries for every single thing. And I'm looking at her the corner of my eye driving, and I guess she can feel me looking at her. And she's like, you're so stupid or something like that. She tells me, I said, if you ever stop crying, you're going to dry up like a prune. I told her that because, I mean, she just could be reading the post, and I could tell when them glasses come off, there go the tears. But then I guess the Father said, okay, well, I'm going to show you. All this week, I'm like, I'm in the every morning, going to work. Every morning, every evening, coming home. I'm in the crane. I'm like, Father, I'm lifting stuff. I'm not taking these glasses off because I don't want people to see this grown man crying in the crane, literally crying, tears flowing because of what he did in my life. What he did in my life is and I'm lifting both of my hands because you gave me chance after chance after chance. And I'm thankful for that. The other one, brother. I survived. Not me. Like, I didn't do it. He kept me. I survived, and I'm here today, church, Faith Temple. I'm here to testify because Yah, he's grateful. He is great. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for him. They said, Sister Kelsey asked me, said, why you didn't make no coffee? I said, because I don't want to be tempted to drink it because I'm going to be sweating already, and I don't want the coffee to help me sweat. So I don't want that. But this is... We wasn't here, but Friday, I listened to the message Friday morning, and I was listening to the message Friday night, and I stopped and I went to bed, and the Father dealt with me. He put something on my mind. He says, this is how the enemy works. He says, you need to text pastor and ask him if you can do, tell him you're going to do, but I asked. He said, tell him you're going to do next Shabbat, Friday night. And, you know, you go to bed with that on your mind, and the enemy is working. It's not your spot yet. Then you do what you're doing. Pastor's got it, or that one's got it, this one's got it. I just got back in the rotation. I only did one Shabbat when he wasn't here and one Friday night. Just got in the rotation. So I woke up Saturday morning. Guess what was the first thing on my mind? You better text him. I didn't hesitate. I called Brother Him first. I said, hey, look. I'm going to do, because I was scheduled to do Friday yesterday. I said, I'm going to do Friday. I mean, you can do Friday, and I'm going to text pastor and ask if I could do Shabbat. And he's like, okay, sounds good. So look, you know, we had this little analogy that, you know, the people, they do this to the word to make it fit the puzzle, right? The enemy does this too. He hits on you. He try to get in your mind, tell you, you know, attack your faith, attack your belief, whatever he does this. But guess what? So does the Father. And all week long, this is what he had me on my head, this on my heart, and on my mind. Why? Because he took me out of Egypt, but now he's got to take Egypt off of me because I got some things I got to get rid of. And all week, this is what he's been doing to me. And I was so thankful. I have been so grateful. I can't even explain the gratitude I had all this week just wanting to do what he's wanting me to do. what he's called me to do, what he has commissioned me to do, what he has given me the strength, the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, everything. If I just yield, align to his word, he's going to do it for me. And I had to get settled in that. And I did. This week I had breakthrough. I told Pastor that this morning. I had breakthrough. And lo and behold, what the enemy does, lo and behold, you get breakthrough. And the enemy, he tests you. He attacks you. He doesn't leave you alone. So I'm like, man, I got so much stuff. Who sees the diapers? Love. I know this kind of, don't know where we're going with this, but I hope this sticks. Because that's what we're going to talk about, love. Because if it wasn't for his love, none of us would even be here. I wouldn't be here. I couldn't do what he's called me to do. And love never fails. Never fails. His love is sufficient for us every single day of our life. So as he's working on me, I'm going to get to our Torah portion, but I got a few scriptures that I want to read of how I had to get settled in some things. I had to let go of some things and let him do what he wanted to do in my life this week leading up all the way up to here. And it was the emotional week. I ain't lying. But it was a good week. I love when he comes and visit you. And he would just a little bit at a time he would give me. A little bit at a time. Because look, I couldn't handle if he would give me everything for leading up to today at one time. It would just, I would be, shaky. But he gave me just a little bit at a time. And the first scriptures he reminded me of was Revelation 2:4 and Revelation 2:5. He says, "But I hold this against you, that you have left your first love." Look, this wasn't my first, this was my first love on earth. My wife, of course. But he's not talking about that first love. He says, "So remember from where you have fallen." And look, this is where I have fell at right here. Doing this right here is where I have fallen. But look what he says. And repent. You fall, it's okay. It's ugly. It's messy. It's okay, but you repent. He says, and do the first work. Do your first works, or else I shall come to you speedily and remove your lampstand. Think about that. I'm going to remove that light I put in your life that the people needs to see. The people need to see a light. I don't want him to remove that lampstand from its place unless you repent. Romans 8:1. There is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Once he forgives you, no more condemnation. Therefore, there is none, he's telling us, none. Whenever we're warring in our heads because the enemy he's doing what he does. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. He tries to do all those things. Then I begin to look, all these scriptures was given to me when I was doing my craziness. When I was walking out of his will. Every one of these scriptures was thrown my way through a text message or whatever, or a phone call, whatever it was. Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Number one, show me favor, O Elohim, according to your loving commitment. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Look, this has been, I've been back here for a little over a year now. But I just had breakthrough this week. Amen. You say, well, man, what took so long? I mean, obviously it's us. He doesn't hold nothing back. He doesn't hold nothing back at all, but you got to keep reading. You don't just read it one time and then expect that it's going to just happen. He needs to see that you're serious about this. Right. So I had to read it often. Breakthrough just came this past week. I can say that proudly because I felt it. I know what I felt. And you know what you feel when you feel breakthrough. It's a wonderful feeling. Amen. But you got to keep pursuing it. You got to keep pushing at it. You got to keep chipping at it. Don't stop. It says, wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Now, this is the prayer from David after his downfall. Same thing, nothing different, same thing. For I know my transgressions, claim it. Biggest mistake is people don't want to claim their sin. I claimed it fully. It wasn't nobody that made Pastor Josh do what he do. It was Pastor Josh did it himself because for some reason, he thought that if he can get out the will of God and go do it somewhere else and with someone else. Doesn't work like that. That's right. Will never work like that. So own it. Own your sins. Own your mistakes. and my sin is ever before me. Now, he doesn't mean that he ain't going to bring it up all the time. He says he casts it away and forgets it. But just you don't never forget it, because you don't never want to go back to that spot, to that place where he just brought you from. He says, against you alone have I sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be proven right in the word in your words. Be clear when you judge. See, I was brought forth in crookedness, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, you have desired truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden parts you make me know wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop. What they took to put the blood on the doorpost? They dipped the hyssop in the blood. We have it right here. Cleanse me with this, Father. Put that blood on there and cleanse me. Put it over my doorpost of my heart. And I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my crookednesses. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I can't tell you how many times I quoted that. And renew my mind. And renew. I can't tell you how many times I quoted that single verse in the last year. Because listen, I've been wanting this breakthrough. I've been wanting it, but apparently I've been holding on to some things like forgiveness. It was hard for me to forgive myself. That was the biggest thing. It was hard for me to forgive myself. But that right there, I said it often, created me a clean heart. I want my heart to be pure. I want to hear those words that Dawid heard, a man after my heart. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's that same heart I want. I want to be after his heart. Or Elohim, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away. Steadfast spirit means firm. I want your spirit to be rooted in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your set apart spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance, and uphold me, noble spirit. Let me teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners turn back to you. I'm not going to let what I went through for nothing. There's going to be a message. There's going to be people I can talk to, someone that might be on the brink of making that same mistake I did. And here it is, Yehovah, line this up to where I can share. Look, tell them, hey, I can promise you that's a dangerous road that you're about to go on. And you don't know if you're coming back. It's only by the grace of God and people that you have surrounded yourself with that love you enough to pray for you. Hence, this is the good message. I can't wait to get to that part. It's at the bottom. Deliver me from blood guilt, O Elohim, Elohim of my deliverance. Let my tongue sing aloud of your righteousness. Amen. Every chance I get, I want to sing aloud of his righteousness. Why? Because I survived and I'm here to testify. O Yehovah, open my lips and my mouth declare your praise. For you did not desire slaughterings, or I would give it. You did not delight in ascending offering. The slaughterings of Elohim are a broken spirit and a broken heart, a heart broken and crushed. O Elohim, these you do not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Yerushalayim. Then you would delight in slaughterings of righteousness, in ascending offering, in complete ascending offering. Then young bulls would be offered on your slaughtering place. I just wanted to read those because that's what he did. You know, that's the stuff I had to continue to read, continue to push through in order to have this week that I had, this past week. And I thank him for it. So we are in Genesis 50. But how many know that Yehovah has boundaries? He sets boundaries for a reason. Not because, you know, he's kind of, and us as parents, we set boundaries on our kids when they're growing up. You don't let a kid just act the way he do. As parents, you set boundaries for them. Listen, we have rules. We have laws. You do this way. If you're staying in my house, that's a good one. If you're staying in my house, if you're going to be in his house, you got to follow his rules. Come see Nick. What's Sister Casey? Sheila? No, come see Pi. Stand this way. The father, a mother, come here, you our child. You was in the very beginning, and here you are. Look, I even told Bella. I said, Bella said she had somewhere to go. I said, man, but I said, but Daddy has to use you today. And I can easily get her stirred up and worked up. But I kind of have to say, no, it's okay. You can go wherever you had planned. Because she probably would have came here just because. But I'm glad it's him. Because, look, we have boundaries. As parents, you set boundaries, right? And Yehovah, give me your arms, and the Torah. The mother is the Torah, right? You set these boundaries, go to the right. Go to the left. Walk to me. Go back. Set boundaries. The Father keeps you in these boundaries for a reason. Because if you get out the boundaries, you get yourself in trouble. You get squirrely. But look, so he loves us so much that when he sees you about to go in error, here it comes right here. He gets a little, it gets tight. Because he don't want you to go outside his boundaries at all. We got to love to be in his boundaries.
Right.
Love it. Thank you. Even though you don't want to be in there sometimes, because look, when we first got saved, we was just kind of all what we knew, going through the motion. But then when we start asking him for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know, that's when things get tight. Because you first, you know, you're a little loose in your boundaries. But then he says, okay, y'all really want to follow me? Let's tighten this up here. Let's tighten this up a little bit. We got feast days, y'all, we're not doing. Y'all doing other days. You got Shabbat. That's an appointed time every single week. It's an appointment. That's his boundaries. Then that's what he's saying, stay in them boundaries. Because look, when we get outside them boundaries, man, all hell break loose. All hell. So we was talking about, I'm going to read Genesis. I'm going to get to verse 7. That's my verse to get to. But I want to read 1 through 3 and just comment on 1 or 2 things. I mean, 1 through 7 and just comment on, because we're talking about grief and honor, right? And there was a lot of grief and honor that Yeshua paid for our craziness. I almost want to just call it like stupidness and ignorant, all that. You can put all that in there because that's what it was. And I told him on Tuesday. And I'm gonna tell you how precise I was with this father all week. I told him on Tuesday. I said, when I wake up Saturday morning, when Shabbat starts Friday evening, I'm not asking you for, like, you know, oh, I need, you know, my finances or, you know, my kids or whatever I got going on. Come this Shabbat, I'm not gonna bring it before you. I'm just gonna honor you. All Shabbat. All Shabbat, I'm going to honor you. You say, well, why you didn't do it all week? Why would I put that burden on myself? I did that in the past, you know. You try to want to show, like, oh, I'm ready. No, just do something small. Just tell them I'm going to honor you on Shabbat. Because come Sunday, I'm probably going to be boo-hooing to you that I need some help, you know. So I just wanted to tell, I told him that, I said, I'm just going to honor you all Shabbat. I'm not coming with no agendas, but just to praise you and honor you for what you're doing in our life this from here on up. So it says in Joseph, verse 1, and Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Yisrael. And for 40 days were completed for him. For so are completed the days of embalming. And the Mishrites wept for him 70 days. The Mishrites wept 70 days. Anybody wept 70 days for somebody? Well, probably my wife the whole time I was in and out. That was grief. That was grief. And I'm giving him honor for that today, because where I'm standing here today because of the grief she bore. But yet, you're so right. A woman that prays, the prayers do not go unanswered. Living proof. Joseph fell on his father's face, wept over him, kissed him, and he commanded his physicians to embalm Israel, and the mourning of Yaakov was great and ordered. This shows that the family of Elohim grieves, but they grieve with dignity. But this is the part I want y'all to remember. Remember that life has meaning and that love leaves an imprint. Love leaves. It's only because of love that Pastor Josh can be here today delivering this message that the Father has placed on my heart because of love leaving imprint. John 11. I'm not going to read. Pastor read all these scriptures. I'm just touching on some of the high point. But this thing here stuck out to me just this morning. I was reading it again. I went back over it. And this verse, really, I hope it helps someone when I read it too. Again, I'm not going to read, it's John 11, 35, but I want to jump down to John 11. Let me see. 44, it says, and he who died, 43, I'm sorry, 44. And he who died came out bound feet and hands with wrappings, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Yeshua said to them, listen, this goes for anybody who has a family member who's not here today that you love. Love never fails. Love makes an imprint. If you love them, listen, I don't care if it's a son, a husband, a daughter. We all got somebody. I got a whole family. The Father reminded me of this morning when I was upstairs in that office studying. A whole family. I didn't ask for firstborn status, but somewhere, somehow, here you are, Joshua. You that light, you that lampstand to your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, and all your nieces and nephew. Whole family. Think about that. Sometimes I'm like, man, Father, that's kind of heavy for me to carry. But no, it's not heavy if you line yourself up with me. I'll make it happen. But listen, you need to, you read this scripture right here. Loosen him. You need to tell Satan, loosen them. We got to quote what Yeshua said. Loosen him and come forth. We got to claim that over the lives of our lost ones. Loosen them. You have no right, no authority. Death had no right over Lazarus. The master said, loosen them. And he was loosened. He came forth. Loosen them. That's going to be my stance for my family. When I'm praying for them, that's going to be what I'm going to use right here. Loosen them because they're coming forth.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They're coming forth. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4. Verse 1. It says, a life pleasing to Elohim. It says, for the rest then, brothers, and we're going to read all the way to verse 13. We beg you and call upon you in the Master Yeshua that as you receive from us how you should walk and to please Elohim, you should excel still more. How you should walk? You stay in them boundaries. He gives you the blueprint of how you should walk. And what pleases him outside them boundaries, you're not pleasing the Father. We're not pleasing him if we're outside his boundaries, his structure, and how we should live. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the desire of Elohim, your set apartness, that you should abstain from whoring, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in set apartness and respect, not in passion of lust like the nations who do not know Elohim, not to overstep and take advantage of his brother in this matter, because the Master is the revenger of all such. As we indeed said to you before and earnestly warned, for Elohim did not call us to uncleanness, but in set apartness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but Elohim, who also gives us the set apart spirit. You're not rejecting the pastor or your wife or your sister or you're rejecting Elohim. Point blank. Nobody else is being rejected but him. For Elohim did not call us uncleanness, but instead apartness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but Elohim, who also gives us his set apart spirit. And it is not necessary to write to you about brotherly love, for you yourselves are taught by Elohim to love one another. For in fact, you do so toward the brothers who are in all Macedonia, but we call upon you, brothers, that you do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to live peaceably, and to attend to your own, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, so that you behave decently toward those who are outside and not be in any need. How are we supposed to behave? Decently. Where? Outside. Out when you leave these doors. It's easy to act decently up in here. So easy. It's just something about it. Like my brother said last night, we can't come to the Father any which way we want to come. You got to come to him with much respect, with much reverence. Like if you think, like, if you going somewhere, like, I never ate with the governor or none of them. Of course, some people have. You don't go in there with jeans and your shrimp boots or tennis shoes, go and eat with the governor. No, you dress up nice. You put a suit on. You make yourself presentable. But, you know, we got to put that into coming here just as well, coming before his presence. You talk about the governor of all governors I'm coming to see on an appointed time, on his Shabbat, every Saturday. It's an appointment that he made for me to come and see him and visit with him and let him speak into my life. Now, therefore, we do not wish you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you be sad as others who have no expectation. What is he telling us? We have an expectation as long as we stay in his boundaries. We have an expectation that when we though we sleep, we're going to rise with him one day. Faithful to the covenant. We have to stay faithful to the covenant. He stays faithful to his the covenant. We have to stay faithful to ours. And listen, everybody in here made a covenant with him. Everybody in here, when you gave your life to him, you told him, I'm going to do this, and this. That is a covenant. You're in agreement. You letting him know that, Father, I'm going to serve you with everything in me. We made a covenant. So we have to stay faithful to that. We have to stay faithful to our covenant. Verse 4, and when the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes. No, I want you to notice, my brother touched on this last night, how Joseph's speech right here towards Pharaoh. He's not, listen, he knew Pharaoh for some time now. He was second in command. I'm pretty sure they was close. I'm pretty sure they had some deep, deep conversations, and they grew a bond like never before. But notice, he says, saying, if now I have favor in your eyes, please speak in the hearing of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, see, I am dying. Bury me in my burial site, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. And now, please, let me go up and bury my father and return. Before Pharaoh could say what he says in verse 6, that right there tells you how he addressed it, Pharaoh, or how he spoke to Pharaoh. I was going to use Brother Rob because me and Brother Rob's got this little handshake thing, right? Tells me, like, or whatever, when we first meet, good morning or Shabbat Shalom or whatever. And then I say, talk to me. You know, if I'm coming to greet Papa, I'm not going to greet Papa to say, what's up, dog? I'm not greeting Papa like that. I have a respect for Papa. I'm going to say, good morning, Papa. How you doing? Amen. You know, I'm not the way I did with Brother Rob, who's a buddy kind of, you know, my age or whatever. That's the same thing what Joseph did right here. Joseph ain't go to Pharaoh and say, hey, partner, look, I'm going to go by my dad, bury my dad. No, he has a respect for Pharaoh because Pharaoh is a man that's in rank. Right. So he's not going to come talk to him any kind of way because it says it right here. He says, and Pharaoh said, go and bury your father as he made you swear. It's a level of respect. He was honoring him. He was honoring Pharaoh. And in return, Pharaoh honored him back. Listen, and that's the same thing the Father will do for us. If we honor him consistently, every chance we get, honor, 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 you don't think he's going to honor us back? When we ask for something, you don't think he's going to give it to us? If we're asking that's aligning with his word, absolutely. He never fails us. He never fails us. If we honor him, he will honor you. Now, my turn to preach on Genesis 50, verse 7, starting with verse 7. The witness of the righteous. The witness of the righteous. Listen, this great possessed, what is this called? Procession, or what's the color? Huh? Procession. Yeah, with the funeral? Uh-huh. Yeah. How you say it?
Procession.
Procession, yeah. It was so huge that the Canaanites, they was witnessing something that they never seen before in their life. Now, I've never been to a funeral that big. I've been to a small one time, like 20 people, that pastor threw on me. And that was, oh my word. There was no honoring going on right there at that funeral. I'm going to be honest. Man, and it was somebody's daddy. And I was like, man, these people talking about their own daddy like that. Oh, man. Fresh, just like, I might have did two Bible studies, and they asked for, well, pastor said, well, I mean, Josh is down home if y'all want to use him. Or they might even ask you for me or something. I don't know how it went. But, man, I went there with a suit and dressed up, wife dressed up, and we get to this funeral. I was like, oh, my gosh, we overdressed. I'm sweating. These people got just jeans and boots on and T-shirts. And I'm like, oh, man. It was a witness, all right. We witnessed something. That was not a great procession. But this one was. This one was. You think that you might have been to one 200, 100 some people, 200 people, maybe you've been to one 300 people. If you ever been to Amish funeral, I'm pretty sure they have 200-300 people, maybe more. That don't even touch this scale that they witnessed right here. Righteousness. They was witnessing righteousness. Verse 7. And Joseph went up to bury his father. And with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Mitzrayim. And all the house of Joseph and his brothers and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. And it was a very great company, very great company. Pharaoh wanted to make sure that Joseph and his family didn't have nothing to worry about. Just like we do when somebody dies, the church get together, or different ones get together, and they bring the food, they bring this, they do that, they do it all. Because the family, you want them to grieve. You want them to finish grieving if they haven't finished grieving. But then you also want them to have, because, you know, when you have the service, people also remember the good things of that person. That's there. So they're honoring that person. They say something good about them. Of course, nobody never says that. That joker was a whole call right there. Little family sidebar conversation with little family members. But ain't nobody getting up behind this pulpit and say that about the man in the coffin. That's for sure. Or the lady. You know, so you honor that person. Grief and honor. I tell you, that message hit hard, man, the other day. But Pharaoh sent all that because he didn't want them to have to worry about nothing. He wanted it all taken care of. And he that speaks of the volume of that man that they was going put into the ground. Yaakov, just think about it. Joseph went up with a great company, servants, elders, chariots, and horsemen. The whole camp of Israel went with honor. The world saw that this family was not only important to itself, but that the honor was part of their walk with Elohim. That's the kind of life we need to live. That it's not a, it wasn't a, it was, it wasn't, it ain't gonna be about us when it's our turn. What did our life speak with the walk with Elohim? When things got tough, do we still stand firm? When things looked like there's no way, he made the way. Huh? That's the kind of legacy you wanna leave. That they don't see you, they seeing the Elohim that was in you. Let's look at some New Testament connections. The way the people of Elohim live is a public testimony. The way we live should be a public testimony. They should be able to say, without you saying a word, just by the way you carry yourself on the job, off the job, in the grocery store, wherever you want, just you want someone to look at you and say, that's something different about that family. Or that's something different about that young lady. Or that's something different about that man. That's what Yaakov lived. That's what Yosef lived as well. Yosef lived that life just like that. There was something different about him. And Pharaoh knew it. Pharaoh knew it. That's why he made him lord over everything. If he wasn't on his throne or whatever, Joseph was in command. He had that much authority. Let's look at Matthew 5. Because remember, we're looking at public testimony. Matthew 5. Let's see where I want to start. I'm going to read to 16. Let's start with verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward in the heavens is great. For in this way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You, because remember, we're talking about how your light should look outside. How, you know, your public testimony. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how shall it be seasoned? For it is no longer of any use to be thrown out. Use but to be thrown out and to be trodden down by men. You are the light of the world. That's what you should. This is the words of our master. This is what he's telling us. But what I read earlier, that, you know, in that Rome, in that the first part about in Revelations 2 and 5, if you don't live up to my expectations that I put on your life, I will remove that lampstand. I will remove that light. But Yeshua is saying, you are the light of the world. He's giving us confidence that you can do this. You can. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But where they put the lamp? Where they put it? On a lampstand. You don't put a light and put it under a basket. You put it on a lampstand. That's what Yeshua is saying. I'm putting y'all on a lampstand. And it shines to all those in the house. Public testimony. All those in the house. Public testimony. Philippians 4:8. Let's start with verse 1. So then, my brothers, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Master. Beloved, I appeal to Yodia and I appeal to Sunta to be of the same mind in the Master. And I also ask you, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the good news, with Quilems also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in Yehovah always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice when? How? Often? Always. You mean I got to rejoice when things are going bad? Yes. You mean I got to rejoice when I'm grieving? Yes. You mean I got to rejoice when my husband is working on my last nerve? Yes. You mean I got to rejoice when my wife don't want to, I don't know, cook my favorite food or something? Yes. You said, is it that petty? Petty? Yeah, we get that petty. We get worked up over silly stuff. Huh, can't believe they said that. Can't believe they did that. Oh, man, I'm going, man, my finance is so bad. I heard a little joke the other day. But you know, you find out, he said, man, if a robber come to rob me, they just practicing. Because I'm broke. I ain't got nothing. He said, they just practicing if they come to rob me. He says, rejoice in Yehovah always. And always, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The master is near. Do not worry at all, but in every matter, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. For the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any uprightness and if there is any praise, think on these. That's the things the Bible tells us. It lines us up with everything the Father wants for our lives. Think on these things. Don't think about, you know, what you got going on tomorrow, or what you got coming your way, what bills you got that you didn't pay, what ones you need to pay, what ones you can't pay. I'm preaching to myself, I guess. I'm the only one going through that. And right now, yeah, maybe so. But hey, we coming up and coming out. Pay 5 year. Verse 10, chapter 50. Sorrow that speaks. You ask, man, how can sorrow speak? I think Sister Becky was the living testimony of how sorrow speaks. I never lost a child. I never lost a son or a daughter or, you know, that close to me. The one, someone that means that much to you. But her sorrow spoke volume. Because she still gave the Father praise in everything she was going through with that. You think about it. Just sit for a second and think about losing a child. Someone you, then a mom. You bore that baby. You nurtured that child. You did everything to make sure it grew up and had everything it needed. Food, housing, clothing. It's easy for a dad. A dad just got to go provide. So, you know, we should do more, but, you know, it's how we trained or wired. You just go provide. Mom's going to take care of the home. So there's a little more, you know, especially a boy. A boy is they didn't want to lie. Mama's boy is a mama's boy. Boys love their mama. The boys don't love their daddy too much because daddy's going to be a little tough. Daddy's going to tell them suck it up when mama's going to be like, come on, my baby. It's going to be okay. Mama got you. That's what the Torah does for you. It's going to be okay, my little boy. I got you. But sorrow that speaks. That's the difference. When you're in line with Yehovah, it's not that you're not going to grieve. You're going to grieve, but you're going to give him honor and praise through that, through those tough times, through those days. Verse 10. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, and they lamented there with a great and very heavy lamentation. That must have been a lot of... You know that deep, deep groaning when somebody's really crying, that is, it hurts on the inside after they get up and finish from crying, all these sides and everything. That's that kind of limitation that was going on right there. Just for him to say great and very heavy, very heavy. And he performed 7 days of mourning for his father. Joseph performed 7 days, 7 days of crying and weeping for his father, because that, you know, again, that sorrow that spoke something to the people. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, they was in Canaan. That's where Joseph went get his dad and them from, out of Canaan. So now they're back, and these Canaanites are seeing this. Well, man, Joseph is back, his dad, he's burying his dad, his whole family, and all these other, look, all these Mishraites that's with him. But yet the Mishraites are the ones that's groaning is the loudest, maybe. Saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad. They said, this is a grievous mourning for the Mishraites. That right there tell you the Mishrite must have been doing the groaning the most, because they thinking it was for them. This is why its name was called Avel Mizraim, which is beyond the Yardim. At the threshing floor of Atad, they mourned with a very great lamentation. The Canaanites saw it and saw this was a grievous mourning. Public grief became a sign that something sacred was being honored. Public grief became a sign that something great was being honored. When was the last time someone seen you out just honoring the Father, just out in your yard or out in the store or in the crane? I'm serious. I'm really glad that nobody really seen that, because I wouldn't know how to answer. Like, they wouldn't understand me anyway if I'm saying, man, y'all just don't know what the Father's doing to me. They don't. They so, but that still shouldn't neglect or hinder me for telling them the truth. That, hey, bro, hey, Josh, why are you crying? Captain, that's what they call me, Captain. And it's Captain 2.0. Yeah. I'm Captain, he's Captain 2.0. That shouldn't, I should be able to tell him with great joy, yeah, that should be that my key time to witness to him. Y'all have no idea what the Father has been doing with me all week. All week. But the two-room guy did say, man, yeah, because some statement was made about some animals or whatnot, and I'm not going to get into great detail. And he's like, boy, yeah, boy, Cap, I'm sure you got saved, because you probably would have been a menace. Just talking about animals, but anyway. But yeah, a great sign, sacred, being honored. The Holy Spirit gives permission to grieve, yet lifts us toward hope. The Holy Spirit, listen, he's not against you grieving. It's not what he's saying. But in your grieving, give honor. In your grieving, give praise. In your grieving, sing. In your grieving, shout. In your grieving, do a little dance. Do something. Shake a leg, anything. I told my wife and my daughter, I said, one more trip to COI and I'm coming out. I'm telling you. They just make you want to move when you're in that, when you're watching them and, you know, in that presence with them. Makes you want to do that. David did. David danced. I want to. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, just don't, y'all don't freak out when you see me cutting the rug right up here in the front. 2 Corinthians 7:10. I'm going to start with verse 1, though. Having then these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement. I think that might have been why it took so long for my breakthrough. Maybe I was holding on to stuff that he was steady trying to chip away at me, chip off of me. Because I know he brought me out of Egypt. But now he had to get some of this Egypt off of me. So he was doing this all week, and I was grateful. I was thankful for it. But we have to cleanse us from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting set apartness in the fear of Elohim. Make room for us. We wrong no one. We corrupt no one. We exploded no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I previously said that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I have been filled with encouragement. Hallelujah. Today, I have been filled with encouragement. I overflow with joy in all our pressure. I overflow with joy in all our pressure. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were hard pressed on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. But Elohim, who encourages the downcast, encourage us by the coming of Titos. And not only by his coming, but also by the encouragement by which he was encouraged over you, when he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your ardor for me, so that I greatly rejoice. For even if I made you sad with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. Now, you can see why some people think Paul could take Paul's writings and, what kind of statement is that? I regret it, but I don't regret it. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. This Paul, he was something, man. But what he said, he says, for sadness according to Elohim works repentance to deliverance. Oh, no, verse 8, I skipped up too much. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same letter made you sad, even if for an hour. I now rejoice that you were made sad, but that you were sadding into repenting. He made you sad for a reason. He wrote letters for a reason. It's to make you sad that way it repents. That way you repent. Listen, I was going to save it for the love diaper message, but I was reminded of a text message that Pastor sent me, and it was a scripture in Corinthians. No, listen, ain't nobody but love. That's what love does. That's what love does. Ain't no pastor or nobody wants to pray that prayer to where he turns your flesh over to Hasatan, to Satan, so it'll save your spirit, so it'll save your life. Who wants to say that prayer? Ain't nobody praying that. Ain't nobody saying, oh, Father, I ask you that the enemy just engulf him, engulf his flesh to where he can be saddened to repent and turn back to you. Who's going to pray that? Ain't nobody praying that but love. If they love you, they're going to pray that prayer. They're going to do whatever they got to do because they love you. For even if I made you sad with the letter, okay, I now rejoice that you were made sad, but that you were sadding into repenting. For you were made sad according to Elohim, so that you suffer no loss from us. For sadness according to Elohim works repentance to deliverance, not to be regretted, but that the sadness of the world works debt. And listen, I'm thankful that he prayed that prayer over my life. I'm thankful. Why? Because he just said it too. He says, my sadness according to Elohim works repentance to deliverance, not to be regretted, but that the sadness of the world works debt. So glad that when that prayer was prayed, that sadness, because listen, it was sadness. It was grieving. Look, grief comes in many different forms, many different fashions. Grief, you ain't got to die to be grieving. To grief. You can grieve because Your husband's not saved. Your kids is not saved. The grief comes in many, 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 many hats grief wear. Verse 12 through 14, the obedience completed. The obedience completed. And his sons did to him as he had commanded them. For his sons brought him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite as property for a burial site. And after he had buried his father, Yosef returned to Mizraim, he and his brothers, and all who went up with him to bury his father. Yosef was a man of his word. He asked Pharaoh with honor for him to let him go bury his father, and he will return. And what did he do? He returned. Every single one of them, every horseman, every chariot that went to carry everything, Yosef came back with that whole entourage that Pharaoh sent him off with. Obedience was completed. Yaakov's sons did exactly as their father commanded, burying him to the cave of Machpelah. After the burial, Yosef and his brothers returned to Egypt. Obeying Yaakov's request was an act of covenant loyalty. When the father makes a request of us, no different. We need to act as covenant loyalty. We need to be loyal to his request. Why? Because he's loyal to his. You praying for something, you praying. Boom, it happens. You got to give him honor instantly. Don't wait, don't hesitate, don't talk yourself out of it. You give him honor for it quickly. Obedience to the truth of Elohim must be completed, not partially. Full obedience must be completed, not a partial. Yaakov 2:22. Faith is perfected by works. Genuine belief shows itself in complete obedience. What? How you gauge if you're being genuine? Complete obedience. Complete obedience. John 14. Let's see, we're going to read. We'll start with verse 1. I like starting with the very first verse. John 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Elohim, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many staying places, and if not, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you might be too. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to his master, "Master, we do not know where you are going and how are we able to know the way?" Yeshua said to him, "I am the way." There's only one way. Yeshua says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Got to go through the door. Can't go through a window. Can't go through the back door. He didn't say go through the back door. He says, "I am the way. I am the door." We have to go to the Father. I mean, we have to go through Yeshua to get to him. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Yeshua said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who stays in me does his work." So straight up, you know, look straight off the bat. Listen to the words of Yeshua. The words that I speak, they're not my words. I'm not getting this from my own self, my own thoughts, my own ideas. He says, "No, I am in total alignment with the Father." Total alignment. And how should we be? In total alignment with the Father. Amen. When we speak his word, we should be in total alignment with him. "Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves." What Yeshua is just not talking the talk. He's walking the walk just as well. He said, not only am I going to say what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you that I'm going to do it. That's what he's telling them by the works that I've done. If you don't believe nothing else, just believe the life I'm living. Believe, and that's how we should walk this life out. You know, we shouldn't have to try to, you know, explain to others why we're doing it or what we're doing it, or we should just let them see the Father working in us wherever we at, wherever they go, whoever we bump into, they should be able to recognize it off the bat. Off the bat, they should recognize and say, "Man, they different. Their speech is different." That's what they told at the cross. They told one of his disciples, "Yeah, your speech gave you away." When the last time somebody said that about you? "Oh, I know you're a believer because the way you're talking, your speech give you away." "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I shall do, in order that the Father might be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever in my name, I shall do it. If we in his boundaries, if we in the boundaries and we ain't getting out of boundaries, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I shall do it. He didn't say I might or I'm going to think about it. I shall do it. I shall do it, sister. Instrument players coming back. I shall do it. You stay in line with me. You don't weary. Don't get weary. Don't feel faint. Stay the course and watch what I'll do. Living proof, my wife. Stay the course. It's ugly. I know it's ugly. But you push. You push because, look, here we are standing here today giving him honor.
Thank you, Father.
Giving him honor for what he done. What he done. No, nobody else did this. We couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. No matter how, yeah, you prayed, but you couldn't save Pastor Josh. You couldn't bring him back here. It took the Father. It took the fire, but it took the faithfulness of the people. It took the faithfulness of a wife to continue, of kids, my kids as well.
Yeah.
I'm giving him honor. I told him today, all I want to do is give him honor today. If you love me, you will guard my commands. Plain and simple, if you love me, you're going to guard them. You're going to love to do what I ask you to do. You're going to hate what I hate, and you're going to love what I love. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky right here. Fear after the father's death. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph hates us and pays us back all the evil which we did to him? When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they feared that Joseph would finally repay them. Guilt never really dies on its own. It either finds forgiveness or finds fear. And I can testify to that. Guilt, it never leaves. And it never dies. It never goes away. It wants to stay. It wants to linger around because it always wants to remind you of where you was just at not long ago. Like the father can't forgive you. Like the blood wasn't enough. Like he didn't know you was going to fall when you fell. He knew it. But in my own mind, I couldn't understand that at first. Why? If he knew it, why put me here? Why do that to the people? But everything, life is a choice. He chooses you no matter what. You his choice, you his pick. Now you can either dwell in the guilt and stay there, or you can repent and come on out of it. This is what it says. It's either gonna find one or two things: forgiveness or find fear. And this week I chose to find forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
I can say that. Hallelujah. This week I chose to find forgiveness. I will not let fear hinder me no more from coming and do this calling he placed on my life. I will not let fear come and do. And it tried. It tried. I'm not saying it didn't try. Oh, it tried. All week long it tried. But he was downloading. He was loving on me so much that I didn't let it creep in like it wanted to. I chose to stand in forgiveness. And I'm thankful for that. I had breakthrough. I'm telling you, I had breakthrough this week. And it's an amazing feeling. If you never had it, and I'm sure you had it. You might be going through something right now. Keep praying and believing because breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Don't faint. Don't get weary. The absence of father figure comforts sometimes reveals unresolved sin. 1 John 4:18. We're probably not going to start with 18, but let's see. Let's start with verse 7. Elohim is love. God is love. And I think this is where we're going. Yeah. I don't know how much time I got. 15? Yeah, we're going to get into the diapers. It says, beloved one. Because this is how, I'm telling you, it was all week and he was just putting this is how you're going to do this. You go get this and then I'm handing them out to y'all. And y'all can do what y'all want. Y'all can take them home or y'all can give them back. Hester's little man is a little too big for it. But I was trying to make the connection to where he can use them, but I couldn't. I caught him too late. But 1 John 4:7, beloved ones, let us love one another. Because love is of Elohim. And everyone who loves has been born of Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love does not know Elohim. For Elohim is love. And by this, the love of Elohim was manifested in us. Where is that? It's in you. The love of Elohim is in you. You just got to let it do what it do. And you got to take hold of it and claim it. We got to claim it. We got to say things. Remember, this is our Pay 5 year. What we say matters. Pay 5 years. So huge. What a time. What a time to be delivering a message in this Pay 5 year. For this is the love of Elohim was manifested in us, that Elohim has sent his only brought forth son into the world. You think Elohim loved us? You think he loves you? You think he cares about you? He gave his only son. You talking about grief that day. Yeshua grieved. His sweat was like blood, it says in the garden. He prayed, Father, it's possible. Let this cup pass from me. He was grieving. But yet, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Brought forth son into the world in order that we might live through him. And this is love, that we love Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning offering for our sins. Beloved ones, if Elohim so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If Elohim loved us, if Elohim forgave us, we also ought to love others and forgive others just as well. To love one another. No one has seen Elohim at any time. If we love one another, Elohim does not stay in us, as his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we stay in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have been seen and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son, Savior of the world. Whomever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim, Elohim stays in him and he in Elohim. And if we have known and believed the love, you got to know the love and you got to believe the love that Elohim has for us. Elohim is love, and he who stays in love stays in Elohim and Elohim in him. Love never fails, but love. A diaper. Why would they name a diaper love? Knowing that all the stuff that goes in this diaper. Why? Because love. Love sometimes get PO'd. Off and on. Love hurts. Sometimes love puts up with a lot of crap. Love puts up with a lot. But what it does, love holds. Love stays attached until this change comes. You might feel like you've been crapped on, peed on. All Yeshua felt it all. But because he loved so much, he stayed attached because he seen the change that would come. He seen the change. This very day that Pastor Joshua finally make his mind up and walk in his calling that he needs to be walking in. Why? Because of love. Love makes you say a prayer. Love makes you say a prayer that you don't want to say. It hurts to say a prayer like that for someone, but love makes you pray that. You don't want to, love makes you. Love says, sends a message with my wife, tell that boy to get his mind right. We miss him. I love him. Tell him to come home. That's what love does. Love makes you send a text message out that nobody wants to send out. Go head on, big boy, and watch what's going to happen. Divorce her and see what's going to happen. That's what love does. Love holds it all together. Love watches a husband who looked up to this, to someone, because of the way he was living, the life he was going with, following the father. And then that person walks out your life, and you have, I had no idea the multitude, the lives that I would really affect because of my choice and my actions. But love. Love gets to see Uncle Pie. Uncle Pie, come to Uncle Pie's house. Because love. Love sees a friend and couldn't understand why a cousin is doing what he's doing, but because of love. But because of love. Cousin, you still can come by the house. God still want to talk to you. Because of love. Love sees a brother and says, I really thought you was finished last time. I'm disappointed. But I always got your back. Love. I don't understand why Pastor Josh is doing what he's doing. But he's still Pastor Josh. When I see him, he's still Pastor Josh. Love. Love is... My husband was kind of starting to open up to you a little bit. He was finally starting to talk good about you and Pastor. But love. You don't understand. Love holds all that crap. It's ugly. But love. Love holds everything together because he sees the change. And wait for the change, because the change is coming. You just got to love. Keep loving. Change is coming. Love is, I don't understand Pastor Josh, but he's still Pastor Josh. And love is taking a lot of crap. That's not the man I married. That's not my husband. That's not the man I knew. But love, grief is coming. Grief was there, but look at the honor this morning. Look at the honor. And it's not me. I'm giving him honor today. I told him it's not me. I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be here doing this. Love is I don't know what's going on with Pastor Josh, but he's still my partner. He's still my partner. I still do anything for him if he called me, if he needs help with anything. Love. Love holds all that. Love sees it. Love feels it. But love holds it together because change is coming. Change is coming. Change is coming. We just got to keep love. Yeshua loved. Listen, he washed the feet, and none of the disciples knew which one was going to betray him. That's how much love he didn't discriminate, or he didn't show partiality to neither one of those disciples. Knew what Judas was going to do. He knew, but none of the other disciples knew why. Because of love. Give that to Brother Him. Love. I don't know why Pastor Josh did it, but talk to me. I'm so thankful. And I don't know if everybody got one. But he's good. He's good love. No matter what it looks like, you love. We have to show the love. Because that's what's going to bring the change. Change is coming. And it'll come. We just got to keep loving. Don't get weary in loving. Don't give up. They're not too far gone. The scripture tells us his right hand is not too far to reach him. You say, how you know that? Because I'm right here talking to you. And I thank y'all. If I never ever told y'all for loving me in spite of my difficulties. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the Father. Amen. He's good to us. That's all I have. I hope. I told my wife, I said, you know, I sent her a text when I got here about, you know, Pastor mentioned last night about the prayer of a woman. It doesn't go unanswered. I said, I want you to pray this morning. This message goes out like it's supposed to. And that it touched the lives. They'll never forget it. It'll never go away. Some way, somehow, that it makes sense to them. And I'll say it clearly. And I thank him for it. I thank him for it. I thank him for what he's doing in my life. And I thank him for loving me and never giving up on me. And I have an access to get back to him because of what the love Yeshua showed for me. Amen. And each and every one of us. Amen. Let's stand.